Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject today of ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced, our favorite topic. We're so glad you could join us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all warmly. And we'll begin today with our prayer.
I'm reading from pages 233 and 229 of Divinity Course in General Collectania. Every pure thought fallen silently and gently into human consciousness does its part in cleansing the whole world, just as every fallen snowflake does its silent share in transforming the noisomeness of the grimy earth into a soft white blanket of purity. We must remember that the smallest truth is mightier than the greatest lie the world has ever known. The one is as enduring as eternity, the other is as transient as a shadow. Take from a lie its power to deceive, and it becomes nothing, for its very being depends upon its ability to mislead. A lie must have two willing accessories, one who is willing to be deceived, one who is willing to deceive, the victimized and the victim. If either is wanting, the lie can do nothing. Abide in love. Nothing can touch or harm you in love. Know that you live in love. Love is God as life itself. Take this understanding with you and bless others with love. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. All right, our watching point.
Watch number 240. Watch that you read all science literature through the lens of science and health, and always go back to it as the final authority. Once Mrs. Eddy wrote, quote, "And if you are sometimes perplexed as to points in it," referring to any article on Christian Science, "go to Science and Health. It is all there is in its genuineness." Also, a student once said to her, quote, "It is not difficult to destroy mesmerism when we see it has not any power." End quote. She answered, quote, "If God is all, there is nothing to destroy. There is nothing but God and what God creates. I have to go back to the book, and so must you." End quote. One who is building a house of brick places his spirit level often on the bricks. Otherwise, his foundation and walls may not be level. Science and Health is our spirit level, which we must use to check every brick we put into our spiritual foundation. In the above experience, the student was placing a brick in her foundation, which was not exactly scientific or level with the book. Mrs. Eddy was quick to detect this. The book teaches that the reason we can destroy mesmerism is not because we see that it has no power, but because it has no existence. It does not exist at all. Mrs. Eddy saw the need of advising the student to use the spirit level of the book to check each thought, since she did not want any of her students to lay bricks in their foundation which were not absolutely scientific.
It's wonderful. Thank you. comments on that?
Well, it's very important. I'm realizing that to just know that error or whatever lie doesn't have any power, to see that it doesn't even exist, it's much more absolute and it's much more to the truth. And it, it's very important. And I'm realizing that.
Thank you.
Another point that I think is very beautiful is that what Florence read about love, you know, because love dispels the lies because they don't exist. But we have to take it from that standpoint.
Yes, thank you. Love is the liberator.
Well, one thing that has helped me, to understand that evil or false beliefs don't even exist is to realize that that's the reason they don't have power. Evil doesn't have power because it doesn't exist as a real thing. It may seem to exist as a figment of our imagination, and it may appear to be very real to us at times. But the reason it has no power is because it does not exist as a real thing. If God didn't make it, it's not real.
Yeah, just like 2 equals 5, the misconception that it's not truth. We can only believe lies. The truth we know. That's why we need to get rid of our beliefs and stick with the truth. And in knowing those truths. Is that you, Florence?
Yeah. I love the fact, and it's helped me so much, God's allness. We can't have all and have something else. I thought to myself, well, that's stupid to think there's something else all these years. You know, if God is all, love is all. That's why love liberates. So if love fills all space, like we read, what else can there be? Only imaginations, only false suggestions, only lies, only transient so-called what that can deceive us. But we have to be ready to be deceived if we don't know the truth, which is eternal, always here.
Thank you.
I think you can feel this too. I know over the years I have read things that are supposedly science, but just don't feel quite right. And then getting back to Mrs. Eddy's works, yes, there's like this sense of relief and like, yes, you know, you're back on shore. So
it's very, very important to me. That was the thrust of this watching point, to have science and health as our guide. We must go back to it. I get new people calling me sometimes who have read various things. Like Joel Goldsmith, recently someone, Emmett Fox. And I mean, that's okay. You can certainly read whatever you want to. But if you have not even studied the textbook, you are like flying around out there. You must study science and health with key to the scriptures. There's never any excuse not to. Don't say it's too difficult or you don't understand it. That's a lie. That's a suggestion. Mrs. Eddy was a scribe under orders. She is getting everything from God to us. Now, on the carousel this week, there was an article. I happened to be studying it anyway, which I found interesting. But it's 3 Rules for Treatment by Bignell Young. And it says, clear up the thought right away in the morning. Think, as I go on my way rejoicing in the Lord, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians. Mrs. Eddy left science and health for us to amplify. Take and amplify one statement of the textbook daily. and study it in a big, progressive way. Ponder it. You cannot study it today as you did yesterday, because more has been revealed. The utterance of God is man. Be normal, be peaceful, be sure, and let one mind operate. Now, in our church, we were taught a long time ago, when you read the lesson every morning, to select something from either the Bible or Science and Health, write it on a little piece of paper or card, and keep it with you during the day to work with. Do, as Bigdell Young said, amplify. Now, I love what he's saying here, and I think it's most important that we all be doing this. We've mentioned the importance of reading the Bible, Science and Health, and prose works a little bit each day, or as much as you want, or as little as you want. But certainly, you can take one sentence and amplify it. And I think in doing this, it helps do what Florence read in the beautiful prayer this morning. It's purifying the atmosphere. I knew 2024 would be a little bit of a bumpy ride because of all that's going on in the country.
And the world.
So this is our work, to be amplifying this truth, and it will do its work in leavening theology, medicine, science. This leaven of truth is working. This is Eddie's truth. And as I've quoted what Florence found so many years ago, and was it Lessons of the Seventh Day?
The green book.
When Materia Medica seems to get so large, overpowering in a way, that healing in Christian Science seems almost impossible. What are we to do?
Get the science and
health. Science and health.
Science and health.
Get the textbook out. Yeah.
To talk about that, I had read it some time ago. A little boy, 7 years old, was feeling very ill. Some of you may know this story. And he got up, turned the light on, and read Science and Health, and he was healed.
Yes.
I love that.
It's amazing how these little children in that book, By Thy Fruits Ye Shall Know Them, it's amazing, yeah. These little children, what they did.
Yes.
Well, exactly. And it shouldn't be that amazing, because their thought hasn't been perverted yet,
right,
by the world, if you will. And Mrs. Eddy says this. She says, the thoughts of young children are much easier to deal with than their parents.
Well, what happened today then? I'm saying... it's really so, well, amazing to me is to say that they understood the science. These little children back then, they would go, I think some of them even went to his hair classes, yes. It's just how they got it. They just got it, and they would use scientific statement of being. They know to go to that immediately, and it's really... Well, impressive, let me say.
Very much, yes.
No, and that's why our Sunday school is so important, because this science is natural. It is perfectly, totally natural. It's not a strange thing. It only seems strange to false human belief.
Bigdell Young said, be normal, be peaceful.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barry, what did you want to say?
I was thinking that in the Science and Health, there's a story about a little girl who burned her finger, and she'd heard, Science and Health being read, and she totally needed to work through her thought. And it is what we come back to. It is the basis that with those building blocks, we go forward. And a little child shall lead them, Jesus said.
Yes, thank you. Can I add, I'd like to add one thing, just from my experience, having been in an organization and seeing, you know, the use of these other books that were mentioned, is the one thing that I always noticed was that it took people away from Mrs. Eddy. It separated her. They wouldn't mention her. They didn't have any understanding or respect, and they would bring in all this other worldly thought that they had picked up from other religions and mixed it. But the worst was when they separated Mrs. Eddy from her works, and she doesn't get credit. And I noticed with the children, they knew right away to love Mrs. Eddy, and they would write her. You can see some little letters that they send to her and how much love they have for her. And I find that that's a really important element that to what you're reading.
Yes, thank you. Most definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And all the people that want to remove Mrs. Eddy and, you know, say we worship her or anything like that are people who themselves want credit for them.
Right.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah. And she has said many times the big bugaboo is who shall be greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Creep in there and try to take over. So, but you can't tell a false item if you don't know the truth. So don't buy into, well, science and health is too difficult to understand.
But those children understood it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I
mean, well,
a lot of people, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people, you read testimonies that I think even in the back of Science and Health, where they're like, I didn't understand everything I was reading right away. But they felt the truth of it, and they pressed on, and there were things they did understand, and those things healed them, and it opened up more understanding. So just because you don't understand every single idea, it doesn't mean that, you know, you still don't press on, and that there aren't things that you do understand, and those things still heal.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something in it. I'll take it for myself. When I read Science and Health, I must say, I said, what? What's this? But I stopped waking up in a panic. I just read this book, and I was like, I don't understand what it's saying, but something happened to me. So, you know, something does happen, no matter what.
Yes.
Leavening.
Right, and the judgment is, by their fruits shall ye know them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something good happens by reading it. Well, darn it, there must be something good there.
Yeah.
And as we grow spiritually, we grow from faith to understanding. Because it is the truth. And if at first we may have just faith in the truth, well, that's the beginning.
But it's not, sorry.
But it's not the end. We should continue to study it so that faith becomes understanding. And then we have bricks in our foundation that are perfectly level and solid.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that pond and purpose does show us, I mean, we're coming with a mortal senses. That's probably why we don't understand it in the first place. Then you go to the second and then the third baptism that the pond and purpose talks about. So we have to know that no matter what, whatever we get, anything at all that we get from the book in the first reading, even if it's showing you just how to pray or the very first sentence to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, in anything that helps us. I think, you know, that's why it is the book to go to.
Thank you. So everyone do that. We take something and do it every week, every day. Take something from Science and Health, either in the lesson or maybe something you just turned to that speaks to you, and write it down and amplify it, work with it. It'll do wonders. I find it interesting that Mrs. Evans instructed us in this, and that's before she ever read Bigdell Young. I call it this golden chain of truth that gets passed down from generation to generation that teaches us just the right thing to do and how to do it. And I'm grateful for that.
Well, when you think about it, that's what David was saying too in his Psalms. My soul doth magnify the Lord. That's that same kind of idea of amplifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's from Mary's. You know, when she was saying about what had happened to her, how the Christ was coming, she knew that my soul doth magnify the Lord. It's a beautiful prayer. And in this week's lesson, in the responsive reading, we have the prayer of Hannah. We've had this story about her a while ago, a few lessons ago, and how she was praying for a child. And she did conceive and had gave that child to the Lord, Samuel, which is such a beautiful story. But in the responsive reading, it mentions, mine horn is exalted. And I just wondered what that was. And I read, you know, with bulls and things, they have horns. And when they get a victory, they kind of raise their head. That's where that comes from. My horn is exalted. And so we can know when we're going through tough times, trials, that our horn too will be exalted. And in that, see, I looked it up in a commentary. It says that a horn is a protruding part of an animal used as a weapon of attack. In the Bible, horn means power, glory, strength, royal authority, enabling power, honor, dignity, and dominion. Therefore, to have one's horn exalted denotes prosperity, triumph, and victory. So, remember, whatever problem you might be working through, that the victory is at hand. Victory is mine, saith the Lord. And we are victors, not victims. And our horn will be exalted. And then it speaks about the exalt the horn of his anointed. And I was looking up some of these things. And in Matthew Henry, when it talks about being anointed with fresh oil, he says, it is from his grace, by his word of spirit, that believers receive all the virtue that keeps them alive and makes them fruitful. Other trees, when old, leave off bearing. But in God's trees, the strength of grace does not fail with the strength of nature. The last days of the saints are sometimes their best days, and their last work, their best work. Now, we know that Mrs. Eddy, when she moved to 400 Beacon Street, Chestnut Hill, she was, you know, I guess you'd say advanced years. I don't know how you want to say it, but think of what she accomplished there. One of the things was she did start the Monitor. And we need to work on that, too, in our news, to know that the Word of God, the truth, can be expressed by papers, newspapers, other places, and that these lies, the fake news, as it's called recently, its mouth will be shut. And that is in the golden text, Jeremy.
Psalms. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins.
Thank you. And in a commentary sent to me by Carrie, it says, God knows the secret wickedness of the wicked and how to bring it to an end. And he is a witness to the secret sincerity of the just and has secret ways of establishing them in it. So I love that. Nothing can be hid. No secret wickedness. God will bring it to an end. He is working right here, right now, all the time. And yet, for the sincerity, secret sincerity of the just, he has secret ways of establishing them in it. So in some ways, this relates to what Mrs. Eddy says. On one side, there will be discord and dismay, and on the other side, science and peace.
Well, yeah. And how is it that God brings wickedness to an end? Because the wickedness was never real in the first place. It was never a real thing. And it is opposed to God. And life, truth, and love are a law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves.
Yeah, we go back to what we started with. The reality of the error. It's not the truth.
Wickedness destroys itself.
It's transient.
Destroys itself. Sin is self-destructive. And that's from the human appearance. If we think that there's an evil somewhere and we see it destroyed, well, it may look like, you know, it may look like a horrible conflict. It may look like war. It may look like whatever. But it's nothing more than the self-destruction of evil. And we should not, and Jesus told his disciples, these things must come to pass. But he also told them, don't be afraid.
Yeah, let not your heart be troubled. In a beautiful article by Nancy Bouchon called How to Save the World, she quotes Mrs. Eddy as saying, here we are again, the truth that God is all in all and that there is no evil, held faithfully by Christian scientists, will save the world, and it is all that will save it. So here we are. We're told exactly what to do. Hold to that truth that God is all in all, and don't be impressed with the rantings and ravings of evil. Mrs. Eddy has said, when Era has howled and howled, it has done nothing. It has done nothing.
I was thinking that this week about last weekend. It's done nothing.
It did nothing. Yes. And in this article, she also goes on about the importance to handle witchcraft. And, you know, that's sorcery. This is what our lesson's about this week. This mesmerism says witchcraft is defined as the practice of witches, sorcery, enchantments, intercourse with the devil. So are we afraid of witchcraft and evil spells? No. As Christian Science teaches, God is the only power in the universe, and we all bow our knees under Christ. The first commandment is to have no other gods before me. We should have no faith or belief in any other supposed power. So this is something, too, we can work with daily now to cleanse our world of this belief in evil and all of this uprising and division and carrying on. That's no part of God's kingdom on earth, which we can live in, thank God. So, also, this week I got it from the Long Year. It's a booklet, and it was about the restoration of 300 Beacon Street. which they've worked on. Maybe some of you've gotten it. And I think it's opening this month, so you can go back and see Chestnut Hill. And our little group here was very much blessed. We went at least twice, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, the place was empty for the most part. And we just got to stroll around and look in all the rooms and just get such a sense of Mrs. Eddy's presence there and the work that she was doing for the world. She continued it every day. And it was a great blessing. Now it's all filled with either, I guess there are some originals or replicas of what the place looked like when she was here with us. But in that little booklet from Longyear, I thought there were two quotes. One from Minnie Scott, who was Mrs. Eddy's cook. And she said, and this is another prayer for us to do, the unceasing prayer that the Christ may be born in every heart is going out from this place daily. And in that way, the work is blessing all mankind. Now, what a beautiful unceasing prayer. Mm-hmm. That the Christ may be born in every heart. And may thy word enrich the infections of all mankind and govern them. A daily prayer. So think about that during your day. Know that the Christ is being born in every heart, everywhere, in every country, every place. God's blessing. God speaking to his creation. I was so pleased because yesterday, dear Christoph, who's with us, he went into New York City. And the first thing he saw...
The beautiful church. First right. thing you saw in New York.
The four-story
in New York.
On the billboard.
Yes.
Yeah. The beautiful billboard of Jesus going down 8th Avenue.
He saw a huge billboard. I mean, huge.
Four stories tall
of the Christ. Yeah. It was just so beautiful. I was so happy because, you know, New York is considered to be a very secular city in a way. And I thought, wow, that just negates it all. Beautiful, huge poster. We should put it up somewhere. Maybe we'll put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, and what did it Good. Say? It says, I believe in Jesus.
No, it's a trust in Jesus.
Right, trust in Jesus.
Yeah. I trust in
you. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. So the second quote, while at Pleasant View, Mrs. Eddy told a friend, we have plenty to read. We take 7 newspapers and get all the news going, for I want to know what is going on and meet the era and overcome it before it develops. So here we can't have our heads buried in the sand. It's very important that we know what's going on to handle the animal magnetism that seems to be about. We have to pray, know that our sources are accurate, or pray and you'll know if they're not accurate. And mainly go back to these absolute truths to heal any situation. But Mrs. Eddy was well abreast of the times. And I was thinking, you know, how Jesus goes out to the multitude and heals. Well, every time you turn on your phone, your computer, your TV, you are faced with a multitude that needs healing. So be prepared.
One thing I've learned about the news is whether it's technically the truth about the lie or a lie about the lie, someone still believes it, so we still have to watch over it.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Thank you. Most true.
Well, and I think that's the whole point, is we need to be abreast of what is going on, And while we are finding out what's going on, we also need to be careful that we don't get mesmerized by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you turn on your computer, you turn on your television, you're going to get some truth about what's going on, and you're going to get a lot of lies about what's going on. And you need to be able to distinguish between what's true and what's propaganda, quite frankly, or a lie. And that's our job as Christian Scientists.
Thank you for that. We get bombarded. And, you know, I think it's appropriate to bring this up because we are exactly talking about this and, you know, name New York. Would you like to share some things that we can pray with something so much of right now going on, all the stuff about Trump and the government and this, not to make it political, but just maybe some prayers that people, you know, have done for this. This is so important.
Yes, Ingrid, we have many things, and we've been talking about that all morning, the prayers to use to neutralize this. And I know all of you are capable of digging deep and finding your own helpful prayers. But all the things we've gone over this morning are prayers, and we should be doing it, as Florence said, to neutralize in the morning. Mm-hmm. Purifies.
Yeah, purify the world.
Yes.
Yeah, prayers, watching, and working.
Yes, and Linda has compiled booklets, one called True Government, with best prayers, the creme de la creme of the things we've been given by Mrs. Evans over the years to work with. So you can access that on our website. We have it on government, we have it on weather, we have it on contagion, and we have one on praying for our children. And all of you should have those. All of you. If you're going to be a working scientist, you should have these watch booklets to be working with.
Just scroll down to the bottom of the main page of the website, and they're there for you to download.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I loved in the lesson, the first part, the Bible part, it's giving you all these wonderful things to work with and how to keep your day, to know that the Lord is your God, and you walk in his statutes and do them, and he will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down and none make you afraid. As you're living this truth, these are the prayers that heal, but you have to live it, not just think it, but be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And that word preparation, preparing for a particular use. And then preparation is intended to prevent evil and secure good.
Mm.
Now, these wonderful definitions that we get, they're from the 1828 dictionary. And that was the dictionary used in Mrs. Eddy's time. Here again, we were instructed, we all bought these huge, great, you can buy them, these great big dictionaries, they're wonderful. And it's also available as an app. Get it on your phone, and that makes it very easy. But a while ago, in a newspaper, there was an article called Education, A Tale of Two Dictionaries. And he gives examples of the definition of education. The first is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which defines education this way. The action or process of educating or being educated. The knowledge and development resulting from the process of being educated. That says a lot, doesn't it?
It does say a lot. Because I remember in school, you weren't supposed to use the word in the definition.
Okay, so then the second example from the modern dictionary comes from dictionary.com. Maybe a bit more enlightening. It defines education as the act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, developing the powers of reasoning and judgment, and generally of preparing oneself or others intellectually for a mature life. Okay. All right. Now, 1828 dictionary. The bringing up as of a child, instruction, formation of manners. Education comprehends all that series of instruction and discipline which is intended to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, inform the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for usefulness in their future stations. To give children a good education in manners, arts, and science is important. To give them a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties. Okay, like wow, right? Like yes. Wow. What a difference. This is why we use the 1828 dictionary. Look how it's been watered down and sopped up, adulterated. I mean, that first definition meant nothing. So, 1828, that's the one we use. And in working for our world, remember always to hold the right concept of our nation, of our world. Hold it steady, hold what's true about it, hold the Christianity of it. It's because all this other stuff is like it's all gotten out of focus. So focus on the truth. You know, in healing a person, you focus on the truth of that person. You hold to it. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. Keep that in thought. Do not think about, oh, what a mess we're in. Or that does not help. Think about the truth of our nation and every nation. There's a wonderful article on our website called The Healing of the Nations by William McCracken, which brings this out. It's a good one to work with. If we do this work sincerely in unity, we will overcome this belief of ancient and modern necromancy, this belief in animal magnetism. We will overcome it, and we will have the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, also, so we have our preparations in the heart from man, answer from the tongue. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So I'm going to have Gary read something that Carrie sent on that.
This is from an article entitled The Businessman in Prayer by Carol Horton Pierce.
What's this?
In Proverbs we read, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If a man sows shrewdness and cunning craftiness and seditions and lying and short practices, what will be the end of this sort of sowing? Failure and destruction of the errors. If he sows according to the Sermon on the Mount, what then? He will reap enduring riches. What will happen if he gains material substance, so-called, simply that he may spend it upon those he loves? He oftentimes injures those whom he would bless. What is the result of seeking to follow in the footsteps of the Master? He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Whoso turns from the material thought of earning luxuries for relatives and himself, and devotes himself to the thought of work for God, shall receive in this life an hundredfold, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Into what insignificance sinks the transaction that is to be consummated tomorrow in comparison with the steady, calm, exalted thought that one is working for God, that one is doing each day what God has for him to do, that God's will is now being done, that the manna falls day by day for daily needs, and there needs not to be anything more than this, for this is sufficient, that God gives us his spiritual ideas, and in turn they give us daily supplies. Miscellaneous Writings, page 307. Furthermore, our beloved leader here gives us the specific command, never ask for tomorrow. It is enough that divine love is an ever-present help. And if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. End quote.
There have been times, you know, when I thought my thought was going every which way. I just couldn't get it together. And that passage has come to me. Commit your works to the Lord, and then your thoughts will be established. Start working for God. Do something, okay? Something. And you will be surprised. Everything will work out. But get your thought off self, or as this article brings out, or your own little kingdom. Start working for the world. Do a watch. Write a lesson. Think up a testimony to give. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, it never fails.
It's true.
Yes. Thank you. All right, Nancy.
In Proverbs, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. And I found in a commentary, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, yet that does not excuse his fault in God's sight. So much the more reason is there for self-examination and testing the conduct by God's word. And when this has been done to the best of our power, still to pray for cleansing from faults which have escaped our notice. I really liked that because it was a great reminder of the importance of praying with our daily prayer given to us by Mrs. Eddy on page 124 of Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments. And it's also on our list of things to handle daily. I'm just going to read the beginning. Let your prayer be daily. Reveal to me, O God, my secret faults, every error, every sin. Earnestly desire to know thyself, to have thy heart searched, to let thyself be humbled, and the man of God stand revealed. And I love when I read that. And then I found all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, for by instinct, men and women justify themselves, and they see their own ways as pure. And some of the most criminal people have thought themselves to be pure in their own eyes. They who are best acquainted with mankind will tell you that self-righteousness is not the peculiar sin of the virtuous, but that most remarkably, it flourishes best where there appears to be the least soil for it. And that's our friend Spurgeon. But the Lord weighs the spirit. Despite the constant self-justification of men and women, God fairly and accurately weighs the spirits of all. God knows and God measures. And the conclusion of the matter is that we deceive ourselves so easily and therefore cannot fully evaluate ourselves. God, by his spirit and through his word, provides the penetrating evaluation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So important every day, go over your slate and pray that. So cleanse yourself. Things creep in, you don't even know, or you justify what you're doing. Be aware of your actions, how you're thinking, or is jealousy creeped in, envy, materialism in any way. Cleanse yourself. it's you know, doesn't necessarily come easy if you do it the way you should. And in Science and Health on page 462, anatomy, when conceived of spiritually, is mental self-knowledge and consists in the dissection of thoughts to discover their quality, quantity, and origin. Are thoughts human? Are thoughts divine or human? That is the important question. This branch of study is indispensable to the excision of error. The anatomy of Christian Science teaches when and how to probe the self-inflicted wounds of selfishness, malice, envy, and hate. It teaches the control of mad ambition. It unfolds the hallowed influences of unselfishness, philanthropy, spiritual love. It urges the government of the body, both in health and in sickness. The Christian Scientist, through understanding mental anatomy, discerns and deals with the real cause of disease. The material physician gropes under phenomena which fluctuate every instant under influence not embraced in this diagnosis, and he may stumble and fall in the darkness. So, here she's saying this is indispensable, this work. You have to be able to do it. And if you do it, and do it consistently, you'll avoid, it'll prevent many problems. So I could go on for several hours on this lesson. There's always so much. Believe me, I could. But bell is rung. And we've talked about many ways to handle this belief in a power apart from God, and called animal magnetism. It's not the truth, since we know God is the only power.
Hey, so, Mary?
Yes.
Before we go, you just read that from 462. That kind of ties in with the watch message from last night about dropping your earth weights. That
yes.
Self-knowledge, you know, kind of yeah. The anatomy of, you know, that really stood out to me. The earth weight that has to be dropped.
And you know, in miscellaneous writings, Mrs. Eddy discusses all this, pond and purpose, the new birth, and other articles she's written where it's this purification process. That's why the reading of Science and Health, Prose Works, and the Bible are essential. First and foremost, then you go to the others. This must be done, and done thoroughly and well, and regularly, daily. And it's a joyous thing. It's not some problem.
Everything in it. You know, it's just the more you dig, the more you realize you don't need to have all this. It's worded beautifully, easily to understand.
Thank you.
Just, yeah.
Thank you. All right, Gary.
And we're gonna finish with a little excerpt from Collectania by Mary Baker Eddy. She writes, "I tell you truth. When I say there is only one source of all good, God. The conscious recognition and acceptance of this fact, acknowledged by every activity of the mind, not two or three times a day, but every few moments, all day long, no matter what the outer self is doing, and this maintained, will enable anyone to express his perfect freedom and dominion over all things human. Today is my day, and my world is but a reflection of my own mental attitude. I have the power within myself to reverse any destructive thought entering my mental household. I could not lovingly entertain unwelcome visitors. Therefore, I shall not willingly entertain unwelcome thoughts. Each day I shall weed from my mind all thoughts of doubt, fear, malice, hatred, revenge, petty criticism, or superstition of any nature whatsoever, and shall begin today believing tremendously in the power of a constructive mental attitude. This is the day that the Lord has made, In it I will rejoice and be glad. No man taketh my joy from me. Just for today, I will know that I am God's child under his protection, and that no plague can come nigh my dwelling. Just for today, I will know that God is good, and that God is love, and that he knoweth them that trust him. Just for today, I will know that I have strength to meet and conquer every claim of error, and that under the guidance of divine principle, I will be led to throw open the door for the entrance of truth, and know through that same door, error is cast forth. Then, with a sweet sense of God's nearness, I will know that yesterday has gone and left no bitterness, and that today is big with blessings, that tomorrow belongs to God. And to realize this today eliminates all worry and pain and trouble and brings us peace and happiness. End quote. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.